Hi, this is Chip Davis from Mannheim Steamroller.
I'm Doris Day.
This is Alvin of the Chipmunks, wishing all of you a very Merry Christmas.
This is Gladys Knight.
This is Darren Rust of the Blenders, and you're listening to The Sounds of Christmas
podcast.
Hi, I'm Ken Kessler, and welcome to The Sounds of Christmas podcast. If you're new to this podcast, I want to start by saying thanks for joining us. If you're not new, welcome back. Either way, I'm glad you're here. Now, to avoid any confusion, I want to start off by saying there won't be any music played here. This is a place for conversation. I'll talk about Christmas music and some related topics, sometimes by myself and sometimes with guests. If you're looking for music, just go to soundsofchristmas.com and click on the tree or the player on the front page or on the Listen Now page. We play the best variety of Christmas music all year long. Well, except in October, when we play the best variety of Halloween music. Very happy to have singer-songwriter James Robert Webb with us on this episode of the Sounds of Christmas podcast. Thanks for joining us, James.
Merry Christmas, Ken.
Merry Christmas to you. I find it fascinating that you split your time between a medical practice in Tulsa and as a singer-songwriter in Nashville. And neither of these are really a hobby. You're serious about both. Which came first?
Well, I mean, music certainly came way before medicine because, you know, I was in my 20s when I started doing that. Actually, I guess I was probably 17 when I started working as an orderly and, you know, discovered I liked helping people. But, you know, music's been part of my life since, you know, it's part of everybody's life, right, growing up. But, I mean, even just some of my earliest memories are probably knowing by where we were living, I was probably 3 or 4 at the time and listening to all these big old black headsets with the, you know, the big headphones with the coil on my parents' console to my mom's 8 tracks of Fleetwood Mac Rumors and Think Goodbye Yellow Brick Road were my 2 favorite ones of what she would listen to. And, you know, I would just, every time we had a piano and I would, you know, bang on the piano when I was little. And, you know, that was just a way that I communicated. It's just one of those gifts. I don't want to say, you know, like I'm gifted. I just mean it's a gift to be able to, you know, to have music in your life like that.
You know, I said that neither medicine nor music are really hobbies to you. You're very serious about both of them. On the music side, you've performed, either opened for or performed with lots of names people know. The Marshall Tucker Band, Ray Stevens, Montgomery Gentry, just to name a few. And without getting too far in the weeds on the medical side, you're one of the top 20 doctors in America that perform a certain procedure that I'm not going to try to pronounce.
Yeah, kyphoplasty, which is it's a procedure that helps people with vertebral fractures, most commonly from osteoporosis. And yeah, I just found out I'm like the number seven person in the country by volume, which is crazy to think about. But that's kind of just been my focus in helping people. It's a really crazy procedure. It's a miraculous procedure. We haven't had anything to do in all of humanity for these people, you know, for fractures until probably about 30 years ago. And it started with some French doctors back in the 80s, you know, experimented by injecting bone glue or bone cement, like an epoxy. And they found that was really high success rate for fixing these fractures, which are the most common fracture in mankind, actually, just because we get so many of them as we get older. So it's, you know, incredible success rates, like 95% success rate. And, you know, the literature recently, like looking back at like healthcare level data, using all like the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, all their data set shows that this procedure, basically every 12 procedures, every 12 of these you do, you're saving a life. It's nuts because the improvement in mortality, because otherwise people are suffering. They go home, they end up in nursing homes. They, you know, they end up laying in bed and in pain and they lose the will to live and they get all these other complications. And so it's just really it's so humbling to be able to help people. Because I'm just a kid from a small town, you know, and I didn't have anybody medical in my family. So it's just really a blessing to be able to go and, you know, help people. If I think back as a 5-year-old kid, like maybe as a 5-year-old, I might have imagined it, but you know, as a teenager, you know, to be able to think that I could help this many people, it blows my mind, you know, just to kind of think about it now.
You know, if anybody heard that story and then heard you were also had a music side, they would probably think that you blow off steam on the weekends, you go to your local honky-tonk and you play and you get it out of your system and you feel better. But you've had 9 top 40 hits on Music Row's Country Breakout Chart, 5 consecutive top 40 appearances on Billboard's Country Indicator Chart, 4 top 20 hits on the influential Texas Regional Radio Report, including 2 number ones, Stealing Home and Lovesick Drifting Cowboy. Wow. I mean, that's not somebody who blows off steam on the weekends. You've got over 4 million streams across the platforms.
It's crazy. Yeah. And we just, you know, it's hard to keep up. You know, we just had another number one at Texas with the song Something Out of Nothing. And I've got a song in the top 10 now at Texas, a song called Ride or Die. It's just,
wow.
Yeah, I mean, I love music, and look, I think it's cool that people have hobbies and, you know, blow off steam and everything. And that's all great. I mean, and there's a lot of people that do that. And, you know, music was always a thing that kept me sane, you know, during medical training and school and everything else. And, but for me, you know, music is kind of, you know, it's a calling. I can't put out crappy music. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to put out something that I'm not ashamed of. You know, I want to do the best that I can. And I've always, really, I got into this because of songwriting. You know, I wasn't really looking to be an artist. I just got into, discovered songwriting and, you know, realized, oh, well, there's people that actually write these songs and there's a craft to it and things. And that's kind of how I got into all of this and my love of songwriting, really. Probably because I grew up, you know, and luckily I grew up listening to a lot of great songwriters and a bunch of different genres, you know, so.
And a bunch of different genres is right. I mean, we've talked about a lot of country stuff, but you've covered in recent years Randy Travis, but also Kurt Cobain, which I would think that would be a very, very small niche of people who have covered both.
Well, that's probably true. That's probably true. But I think, you know, it's interesting you mentioned that because so Kurt Cobain and I have the same birthday. Like he's, I don't know, 6 or 8 years older than me or something, but we're both February 20th babies. And I'm, you know, I loved that era in particular. But it is like, you don't think there's very many, but like there's billions of people in the world. So one of the things as an artist, I've tried to, not try to chase popularity or things like that. I mean, because who really cares about that? Because nobody's going to remember this in 100 years or whatever. Well, I'm trying to find people that are like-minded, you know, and even if there's only 100,000 people like me, you know, that like Randy Travis and Kurt Cobain, then, you know, they're probably going to want, we're going to probably like the same kind of stuff. So I always say my music's weird. It's different. You know, I don't want to make stuff that sounds like everybody else.
I bet there are a lot of people that like both, because most of us don't like just one kind of music,
right?
One sort of artist. We have, you know, we like lots of stuff. That's one of the things I love about Christmas music. It's okay on a Christmas album if you have, I don't think Kurt Cobain did any Christmas songs, but if you had a, you know, if you had something in that style and you had something in a Randy Travis style and you had something in a Carpenter's style, all of that would be fine. Nobody would say anything. But if you do that with non-Christmas music, especially traditional radio people, just kind of their heads explode. You can't do that. You got to stay in your lane, stay in your box. But the truth is, most of us like all that stuff.
That's right. I mean, I think that's a weird conceit that we've had in the last, I don't know, 30, 40 years, because remember when I was a little kid, I can remember like stations and they would play, like you would hear Elvis and then you'd hear Ray Charles and then you'd hear Barbara Streisand, or, you know, like you just hear, it was top, back when top 40 was just like all the genres. Like it was the most popular, you know, I guess highest selling, you know, probably albums. You know, and now it's so, you know, the four, you know, formats, radio formats have kind of done that. But then, you know, now with the younger generation, especially the Zers and everybody with streaming, I mean, that's kind of all out the window. I mean,
yeah,
my son's 17, and like he independently discovered Queen and the Cranberries, and like he's and Johnny Cash and Willie Nelson. Like he's one of his favorite albums is Willie Nelson's was that first album, the one with Hello Walls and 3 Days. And I mean, so he's all over the place like I am, which, you know, and a lot of people are like that. So that's kind of what, you know, hopefully, I think, you know, if there's artists out there or people that maybe haven't thought about it this way, it's just, you know, there's good music and there's, you know, there's music that resonates with you and music that doesn't. And great music tends to resonate with a lot of people. And some songs, you know, end up standing the test of time, like a lot of these American Songbook songs or a song like Amazing Grace. And, you know, thinking about, we said Nirvana, but like Chris Cornell of Soundgarden, like that's one of the staples. My wife loves his version of Ave Maria, you know, so that's always getting played all the time and at Christmas around our house. So, yeah, it is interesting, you know, the barriers kind of soften at Christmas time on genres, and you have a lot of different things. Like you want to hear, you know, people want to hear Pentatonics, and they might hear Karen Carpenter. And, you know, and you might hear, what's the other guys, they were kind of an acapella group.
Straight No Chaser?
Yes, yeah, exactly. Straight No Chaser, and then you want to hear Bing Crosby and all that, you know. Mm-hmm. We just, I think it's cool, you know. Some people get tired of Christmas music, but like, I don't know. There's just such a different variety of things that you can kind of pick and choose. When you get sick of something, you can go listen to something else in Christmas.
Well, that was one of the things I really liked about your Christmas album, Born This Day. Was that your first album?
Yeah, it was. I started songwriting about 2011, and then I worked a little bit with Razzie Bailey because I had a mutual friend, and then I met some different people. And this is the first album I recorded. So we actually recorded that in October, like after I think I started working with them in 2013. That was my first album, and it's crazy. You know, like I've been working with them a month. And that's, gosh, it's been 11 years now looking back. So I've re-recorded a couple of those songs and have been kind of re-releasing them as I've kind of remastered them, because it was the first, it was my first album. Well, so some things back and listen critically to stuff, but I think there's a good, you know, I think there's a good variety of things on there. Born This Day, song that's like, you know, I was really lucky to have, I think it's a great song. I had a couple of writers that were writing Born This Day, and they were kind of stuck, and my publisher, you know, introduced me to them, and like I heard it, and, you know, I just, you know, I thought there were a few cool things that I was glad that they brought me in on that, which I thought it was a cool song. And we just kind of, you know, finished it. And that's, I think it's a really special song. You know, it's very different. And then we did, you know, I was doing some covers, you know, like the Blue Christmas and Old Toy Trains, which I guess is the new version now that we've remastered here. And here we are, you know, 11 years later. That's the other thing about Christmas music is, you know, like if you have a great Christmas song, it's kind of evergreen.
Yeah.
So it's actually getting, Old Toy Trains is getting played in retail this year. Like I just saw it was the first week, it's number 19 on the All Access retail charts, which is crazy. And I think on Spotify, we just released that, and it's like up to like 11,000 streams or something, which is like, if you told me, I did not have that on my bingo card for this show. For me.
No, I love that song, and I feel like Old Toy Trains is one of those songs that is almost getting lost because it just people aren't discovering it, aren't covering it. So I love that you did that, and then you remastered it and released it again this year, and it keeps it alive, and it's such a great song.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, well, Rod, if people don't know, you know, Roger Miller wrote that song, and you know, it's just been kind of it's one of my favorite country Christmas songs. I mean, it's just, I don't know, I love Roger Miller because he's Roger Miller, me and Toby Keith kind of have a similar sense of humor, and you know, we like tongue in cheek things in our in a lot of our lyrics. So and maybe it's because we all have an Oklahoma connection. Maybe that's part of it. But yeah, the remaster here was just kind of mostly I took out, you know, the steel and the fiddle on this version and kind of made it a little bit more neutral, less hardcore country sounding. But at the end, you know, at its roots, its bones, you know, that song is a really country song. But I think my favorite story about that one is when my son was young and he heard that, he thought I'd wrote it for him, which I love that. And I'm like, well, of course, if I could have written that song for you, buddy, I would have totally written it. But I recorded it for you. You know, he was the inspiration, one of the reasons I wanted to record it.
Oh, that's wonderful. What a great story. What a great memory to have.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
There's a bunch of songs on here that you haven't put back out yet. I know Blue Christmas and Holly Jolly Christmas came out a couple years ago. And last year it was I Just Want to Be Your Santa Claus, which I think you wrote, right?
Yeah, I did write that with Alice Linkford, who's another Oklahoma writer. Yeah, that was a fun one.
Do you think you're going to take out some more of these maybe next year, the whole album, something new?
That's my goal, is to release it next Christmas with some of the remasters and the old ones. Like, we'll probably do both versions of Old Toy Trains, because this one's a little bit, you know, it's a little bit different and most people won't notice the difference, you know. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. And then, you know, on the horizon, I have a couple of songs that I've kind of for a couple of years wanted to kind of sit down and do just kind of like a songwriter holiday album. Like, you know, that Joni Mitchell song, River.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's kind of, that gets perennially played during Christmas time, right?
Yeah.
You know, and you can, you know, the lyrics can go different ways, but, you know, it's a really well-written song. And for a lot of reasons, it's kind of associated with that. I have a couple of songs that are kind of in the theme of, you know, just like Thanksgiving and, you know, the time, you know, in the fall from Thanksgiving to Christmas, and you know, the holidays in general, and getting back to family and memories and, you know, things like that. So I've got a few songs like that I want to do. And that might just be a piano vocal project, you know, we'll see. But yeah, I'm trying to get Born This Day back out there.
I'm looking forward to that. I really like that album. And that was the first, well, it was your first album, and that was when you were first with The Sounds of Christmas. We were promoting that.
Right.
So it's great to have you back 11 years later and hearing that this is going to come out again and maybe more Christmas music in the works. I'm always excited about that because I'm kind of a Christmas music junkie. But obviously, you're not just a Christmas music guy. A couple months ago, you put out a song called Lost in Vegas. What can you tell me about that?
Yeah, you know, that's a song I wrote with a couple of friends, Raleigh Keegan and Alex Dooley, who are both excellent writers. And Raleigh is also an artist. Yeah, Raleigh actually released that song. It's out on Spotify, too. And it's a completely different take, which I love. Raleigh's is almost more of a bluegrass kind of country Americana version. And mine's a little bit more, I don't know, you know, whatever, country rock. maybe it's like the, I don't know, pop rock kind of version of it or something. Katy Perry meets Guns N' Roses or meets Toby Keith or something. I don't know. So I like that. That song is doing well. I mean, we've had a little bit of interest. I don't want to jinx anything, but I think we're trying to get, you know, maybe the Las Vegas Tourism Board has a little bit of interest in that. So we're trying to get that placed in some sync things. But I love it. It's a fun song. And part of that is just thinking about, you know, when I was writing that, part of that is that's where my wife and I went on our honeymoon, and we stayed at, Treasure Island, and we were over at the Mirage, which is closed now, you know? And so there's, you know, some of those kind of weaving those kind of memories and visuals into the lyrics was part of what I was doing there. But I love Las Vegas. I mean, that's, you know, if you like Christmas, you can at least drive through Las Vegas and, you know, yeah, and kind of remind you all the lights and everything are, you know, there's a lot of overlap there. You know, part of the sensory experience of Christmas is, you know, there's a Venn diagram and there's an overlap between that and Las Vegas, I guess. But there's a lot of things in that Christmas and the Las Vegas are like oil and water. But
my wife and I got married in Vegas by Elvis, and awesome. We also honeymooned at Treasure Island.
Wow. About
that small world.
So Elvis, the actual Elvis married you guys.
No, you guys not the actual married. Elvis. Oh. Well, I'm pretty sure it wasn't the actual Elvis because this was about 15 years ago.
Oh, well, yeah.
It was one of the Elvises. I don't know what the plural.
If it was the actual Elvis 15 years ago, maybe those conspiracy theorists are correct. But
right.
That's right. Did you guys get married at the chapel or would you?
Yeah. Yeah, it was very cool. Awesome. The back of the chapel opened up and he drove this big pink Cadillac in with my bride as they came down the aisle that way. So that was pretty spectacular. So, you know, I'm not trying to make fun of marriage. So save your emails, everybody.
That's but right.
This was a lot of fun. And a kid recommended highly enough. We had a great time. Vegas is much more of a family town than it probably used to be. But
yeah. There, I mean, there are certainly things you can do, but it's kind of hard for little kids.
Yeah,
on the strip, you know. But you know, older teenagers and stuff. It's not like it depends. You know, like if you like shopping, if you like, you know, you want to talk about some great shows, and everybody goes through Vegas on tour, or you know, on the Epicurean side. I mean, like I think if we. Our main reason we want to go back to Vegas is probably, you know, for all the restaurants. So,
The restaurants are amazing.
Yeah, exactly. And I like, you know, the shows like the Cirque du Soleil shows and things. And, you know, who wouldn't want to go see Adele or, you know, whoever's doing a residency there?
Right. It is amazing. And we're not being sponsored by the Las Vegas Tourism Board.
No, but we're not. Absolutely. These are all.
If they're listening, contact James about Lost in Vegas. Really.
That's true. Yeah. That's just honestly, you know, like we love Christmas and happen to love Vegas too, you know, and I happen to like Indian food, you know, but they're just, these are genuine things that we enjoy. So I had a lot of family in Vegas. My grandmother's brother lived out there, and so my mom had a lot of cousins, so we'd go out there, and that was part of what we would go out there and visit them.
With Christmas coming up, do you have any holiday shows planned or in the works?
I don't currently. Yeah.
I would think that touring would be really hard with also having your medical practice.
Well, I enjoy touring and playing. It's just the problem is unless you're with a major booking agency, it's just so difficult. And, you know, I'm already successful as a doctor. I've had some success as a musician. I kind of decided this spring that I'm going to stop banging my head against the brick wall of trying to get people who haven't achieved as much of as me, you know, call me back, you know, like leaving a bunch of, you know, messages with, you know, bar owners and stuff. And honestly, you know, I don't love playing bars. I mean, like if you go there and, you know, even if there's 80 people there, you know, most of the time, maybe two or three people are listening and that's fine, but it's just, and I like to perform for people, but it's just not worth the time, when you've got to do it on your own and you're going to, you know, you're booking yourself in really small venues, which, you know, I'm not above, I've played a lot of small venues and like doing it, but it's just, you know, at the end of the day, it's hard to get anywhere with that. You know, I've tried, you know, unless you're with a booking agent, one of the major booking agents is really difficult. And even the smaller great places that, you know, 6 or 8 years ago that you could play have kind of been, during the pandemic especially, there's a lot of consolidation in the industry with a lot of the smaller booking agencies have kind of been gobbled up. And a lot of these other venues have just kind of unfortunately been kind of sewn up into this monopoly. So unless you're, you know, at a startup place or small venue, it's kind of difficult for people to book a tour, you know, like I've got my places play locally and stuff like that. So, but if you're listening and you want me to come into your town and you've got a place, hit me up, you know, James Robert Webb on Instagram or Facebook or whatever. Let me know. I'd love to come play your place. So if you, you know, if you heard me talking and you want me to come play and, or you, you know, like the music or whatever, I'll drop the hat and at the drop of a hat, I'll go and play wherever.
Well, that sounds good. I'll keep an eye on your website for details. Hopefully somebody will take you up on that. Speaking of your website, is that the best way for people to get a hold of you? I know you're on all the socials, but I think you've got links there.
Yeah, we've got links there. I mean, all the socials should have a link to the website, or the Comey, I think, is the new one that everybody's using instead of Linktree or whatever. And that has, like, you know, you can contact us by email on that or on the website, or you can message, like, look, I'm not Lady Gaga. I'm personally answering my messages still on Instagram or whatever. So feel free to hit me up if you're listening on Sounds of Christmas here.
So other than the Christmas album possibly coming back next year, what else is on your agenda for 2025?
Well, I've got a lot. So I'm getting my fifth studio album, Weekend Outlaws, coming out. So we kind of, you know, we had kind of alluded to the fact that a lot of people that, you know, do this as a hobby, you might be doing it on the weekend to blow off steam. Like, you know, a lot of doctors like to play golf or whatever.
Right.
And for me, you know, I have a lot of friends and colleagues and just people my age too, that, like, they, you know, they, well, not just my age, like working Americans, let's put it that way. You know, we like to blow off steam on the weekends. So I always have this, vision in my mind of what's the Flintstones when he pulls the tail and the whistle blows and he slides down the brontosaurus's neck and whenever 5 o'clock rolls around or whatever, whenever you get off work, you know, people want to go have a good time and it's me time, you know. It doesn't mean that you're having to go out and party or you're, you know, everybody wants to go out to and go boot scooting or whatever, but you know, people maybe go and rock climbing or they're riding their bikes on the weekend or just hanging out and watching Netflix. And so that's kind of the theme for the album Weekend Outlaws is what's coming up. And that has Ride or Die and Lost in Vegas on it. And so for me, it's kind of a mix of, you know, my music and country has kind of been tending towards that kind of outlaw genre, not maybe because it's a little bit edgier, but for me, it's more important kind of as a philosophical standpoint of, like, the whole quote unquote outlaw movement was really like artists that were just not beholden to the major label machine, you know, in Nashville and everything, like Willie Nelson and all those guys in the '80s and Waylon. So it's more about, you know, just being true to yourself as an artist and, you know, and you don't have to be an artist to be true to yourself. So, you know, you can, that's a lot of my people that listen to music. Like they, you know, when they're not working, they want to spend their time doing what they want to do. So that's kind of that whole concept. It's almost like a lifestyle thing. So that's my, I guess, a 20-minute spiel on that album. And then actually I have in January, I think we're going to release, I have 12 songs that I sat down one night and hit record and just basically improvisationally composed music, like over about 40 minutes. Just, you know, it's maybe it's kind of a modern classical, some of it's a little jazz, there's a little pop kind of stuff, but it's all just instrumental piano. It's a project called Telescope. So I'm going to be releasing that, I think, in January. And I've got got some other stuff in the studio lined up. I've got I've tracked 5 songs so far of just kind of covers of rock and roll things from the Beatles to like Soundgarden with full band stuff. So I'm excited to look at releasing some of that next year probably as well. So if you've been watching James Robert Webb, there's going to be a lot of stuff all across the board. You know, like it may not make sense altogether, but some different genre releases in 2025 is going to be pretty fun.
Do you have a and forgive me if I missed it. Do you have an ETA on the Outlaws album?
Yeah, we're thinking probably May is kind of what I'm thinking.
Okay,
is what we're looking. So we're pressing some vinyl for that, and that's part of our part of my delay. But it's all mastered and ready to go.
So many people like getting the vinyl LPs again.
I know. Well, my daughter's one of them. Like she's
mine is too.
She loves them. I mean, but and she has a lot of different artists that she likes. But I took her to her first concert, and it was way better than my first concert. I mean, my first concert was amazing, but it was a Christian artist named Russ Taff. But we went and saw Benson Boone in Oklahoma City, and it was just like that's probably the best concert I've seen of, you know, a solo artist, especially considering this kid's just starting out, and so impressive. It's like Freddie Mercury.
Wow. That's not something someone says lightly.
That's not something I say lightly. No, and it took, and I reserved judgment on the, I was so blown away by the concert. I said, I'm not going to say anything for 3 weeks, you know, 3 or 4 weeks. Cause you go and you like, you think a concert's really amazing or whatever. And like, you know, oh, it's the best thing ever. And like, I'm not going to say anything for, and I thought about it, you know, for 3 or 4 weeks. And I said, yeah, that was probably the best concert I've ever been to. I mean, it was crazy. This kid is phenomenal. Like, and to think of his writing and everything at his age, it's almost like I would compare him, like his lyricism and everything to, like, you know, you think about like the Pink Floyd Dark Side of the Moon album, you know, like they were around the same age as Benson Boone, you know, writing that stuff. He's quite a bit of, I mean, sir, he's a sappy romantic guy. Okay. Right. But, but still, it's just really, really well done. And he puts on a show, man. Lost count of the backflips off the piano.
Wow.
Yeah. There was a moment there. There was a moment there that it did where it was most Freddie Mercury to me was there was a moment there when he was singing. What's the song about his grandmother? I'm trying to think of it. Anyway, he was singing and everybody was singing along. Like he, you know, he had a moment and he told everybody to put their phones away. Give me at least a verse and chorus, you know. And just me and you is kind of what he said. And like, man, everybody was singing along. It was just a crazy, crazy experience. In the Stars, that's the song I'm singing of. Such a great song. But it kind of reminded me of that moment, like in the movie, the Queen movie, where, you know, out in Rio de Janeiro, where they're singing Love of My Life, you know.
Oh, yeah. That's got to be an amazing moment for an artist. You know, anybody who's listening to this and hears all of the different singers and songwriters that you mention, it would be impossible to pigeonhole you.
Oh, well, I mean, like, yeah, and I'm just, man, I either love music or I don't care for it. I used to say I'd love it or hate it, but, you know, I tend to like music that everybody likes. Let me put it that way. You know, or that there's huge fan bases of, so. But, you know, again, I like everybody from Mozart to Metallica, I guess, you know. Snoop Dogg, you know.
You know, I do too. There was a time, late teens, early 20s, where, you know, that age when you're pretty sure you know everything. Yeah. And I was so judgmental about music. And if it was pop, I hated it. I loved bands until they made it, and then it was like, oh, they sold out.
Yep.
But I'm not that guy anymore, and I love music. I mean, obviously, I love Christmas music a lot, but I play so much, such a wide variety. You know, if Mozart and Metallica, I think that's who you mentioned. If they had Christmas tunes, I'd be playing them.
Yeah, maybe Serge Tankian has something out. Yeah, I mean, I think it's just, you know, if you have the gift for encapsulating, you know, lyrically or musically, the, you know, emotion of, you know, just an authentic human experience. I mean, That's just an amazing gift. And look, I mean, there's times when I'm not into lovey-dovey, songs or sad songs or whatever, and people go through cycles and stuff. But like there's somebody in each of those genres that I love. Like Adele doing what's that song? The Bob Dylan song, "To Make You Feel My Love." I mean, like, I'm not one that wants to sit down and cry and listen to, sappy songs, but I mean, that's an incredible
Yeah.
record. That's just an incredible song. But, and then shoot, look at Baby Shark. I mean, I'm not going to be covering Baby Shark. I did cover Baby Shark one time on a radio tour because they asked me to. But, even a song like that, Flavor of the Day songs that speak to a lot of people, there's a reason because there's a connection, emotionally with people. So I just, appreciate great artists that can do that. I'm not saying that the person who did Baby Shark was a great artist. They're definitely not on my I don't have them saved on Spotify, but there's some things that are flavor of the day. Like I've always, I don't know, even in high school, like I liked, the pop stuff, and I was listening to like all the hair bands until I eventually got sick of them because they all kind of sound the same to me. And then I went and discovered just like all the 60s and 70s rock stuff and like Hendrix and America and just because I was tired of listening to the flavor of the day stuff. So
You
I don't
know,
know.
I love it when my daughter, who is in her 30s now, one of her favorite artists is probably David Bowie. She got a turntable and she bought a Bowie album, she bought a Sinatra album, she bought My Chemical Romance. So,
Oh yeah.
it's and I just love I like to think I'm egotistical enough to think that I had some sort of influence on the the wide variety, but I think that's just who she is.
Yeah.
But I just love to see that. And I think that is, like I said at the beginning, I think that most people like a lot of different kinds of music. We're just sort of, we've been trained to think that it has to be in one particular box.
That's true. Yeah. You said earlier, like you used, like when you were a teenager, you liked people until they gained popularity and then you
Yeah.
didn't like them as much. Now I'm kind of like, you mentioned Bowie, and Bowie's one of my absolute, talk about a genius, but I don't, even my favorite bands, I don't love everything, So Bowie's one that I don't really like a lot of his early stuff, but like there was a stride there that kind of, I would say, culminated probably for me on like the Let's Dance album, around there, the couple albums before and after that, like that's just like the best stuff to me. And once I discover that, then I'll continue listening. And even like through Earthling and his last album, I like, but I don't, those don't resonate with me like the, like a lot of the stuff from that era when they're like most popular, I think. And it's probably because I like popular music. Like I think in terms of like, I might call something pop that other people wouldn't call pop, but what I'm talking about is there's a repetition. There's a, something that your ear can hook into. So like, AC/DC, Back in Black, that's pop to me, even though it's like kind of heavy metal or whatever. If it's got a groove, that's something that kind of carries my ear through the song so I can kind of latch on to the rest of it, whether it's the lyrics or the melody and stuff. So,
Well, I
but yeah.
think the word pop has sort of changed its meaning over the years because it used to just be short for popular, which just meant the best selling, the most listened to music. And that was Elvis and that was Sinatra and that was the Beatles and that was the Rolling Stones and Neil Diamond and that's what it was. And now pop has for a lot of people a bad connotation.
Yeah, because it's kind of become just a formula,
Yeah.
and a lot of successful songs follow a formula, but then you can kind of emulate the formula but not have the zeitgeist or the soul or whatever, But usually the, whatever kind of, even the pop stuff that just kind of rises to the top, I'll usually like. I mean, I like this Benson Boone album, was crazy. I think, what are some others, you know, that in the last 10 years, like the Dua Lipa, what was that album? The album that had all the hits on it, the Billie Eilish breakout album. Like, for example, the Billie Eilish, When We Go to Sleep, Where Do We Go, or whatever that album's called. Like, I love every song on that album, but I haven't really liked much of her stuff since then, and I don't really like anything before. Like, everybody loved Ocean Eyes. Yeah, I'm like, whatever. You know, for me, it's just like, I don't know. I'm so picky about stuff, you know? So it's just kind of weird, but that's
I think
okay.
one of the traps, and I remember this from when I worked in music stores 30, 40 years ago, and I'm sure it's still true today, is that I would always hear people who would either complain about a new album that it sounds completely different from what this artist used to do, or they would say, "Oh, I hate that new album. It sounds the same as everything else." So they're never happy. It's either different than everything they did before, or it's the same. And really, that's what it's gonna be. It's gonna be one or the other. So, but people are fickle like that. And
It's true. You know, there are very few art. There's a few artists that I love everything they've ever put out. And I would say, you know, like, that's probably like Tom Petty. Like, there's probably not a Tom Petty album that I don't love. The Beatles. Beatles are very controversial, right? Because people like the early stuff, or they like the late stuff, or they don't like the late stuff, or whatever, or they just like started or whatever. But like, I just, you know, to look at the Beatles catalog is just to watch an evolution of, you know,
genius.
rock music. On the flip side, like something like Queen, like, I love Queen, but I don't love Queen's kind of like the opposite. Like, I'll have there'll be a couple of songs on every album that I love, but I don't love every song on every album.
I feel I mostly the same. I am probably one of the biggest Beatle fans you might ever meet, but there are still a couple songs that I'll skip.
What do you skip?
Tomorrow Never Knows.
Oh, yeah. No.
Yeah,
I
it's
like
just,
that song, Revolver, right? Or is that Rubber Soul?
I think it's Revolver.
Yeah. I mean, there's something about those two albums that I love, because I think it's a connection to my mom, probably, who's passed away now. But that just kind of era. Like, one of my favorites on in that era is And Your Bird Can Sing.
Well, my favorite is probably In My Life.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's true. I mean,
Just,
that's a song that could be around 100 years from now, like
yeah.
somebody
Have you
made it.
heard Johnny Cash's version of that?
I don't think so. Was that on the Among the Stars, or?
That was on one of his last albums when he did all those, he did a lot of acoustic stuff that was mostly just him and a guitar. And it was a lot of songs that meant something to him. And he covered Nine Inch Nails Hurt, and he did In My Life. And it's just, you could close your eyes and you feel like he's in the room with you. It's but it is one of those songs that, you know, people don't like to say anything is a standard after like 1960. Anything that's come out since then, they don't think of that. But I think a lot of the stuff that Lennon and McCartney did are standards.
Absolutely. I mean, like, you know, even just like Paul by himself, like, Maybe I'm Amazed is such a standard. There's so much. I mean, there's so many things on the Beatles. Even in the crazy thing is that every person in that band wrote something that's a standard.
Yeah, even Ringo.
Yeah, I
Yellow
mean,
Submarine, yeah.
right. And you know, Here Comes the Sun is the other one I always think about too. You know, it's just Something in the Way. I mean, some, you know, you kind of have to get
Yeah.
into that song, but it's one that's hard to let go of.
Yeah. You know, to bring it back around to you and your music, you know, Old Toy Trains. It's a song, it's baffled me that it almost disappeared. And I think Pentatonix did it 6, 7 years ago, but hardly anybody has touched it, you know, since Roger Miller. I think Glenn Campbell did a version of it.
Yeah.
But that's been a while too. And it's just such a beautiful Christmas song.
Yeah. It is. It's such a, you know, such a visual picture song. Like, you know, you listen to the lyrics and you just, you know, you see the Christmas tree and the little boy and everything else. So it's just, it's an endearing classic to me. And I think it's also, you know, Roger Miller is probably one of the most underrated songwriters in country, you know, in the 20th century in particular. But it's just when you have a master songwriter just kind of write something that's almost feels like off the cuff, and you know, it's not overhanded, you know, it's not, you know, songwritery at all. It just comes off as a very genuine, heartfelt, you know, song about his son.
Well, it's one of those songs that I like to say, I hear it and I believe that he means what he's singing.
Right.
And there are so many that, and this has probably always been true, there are so many that seem to get churned out that feel like they're phoned in. They're not, you know.
Right.
And you listen to them and there's nothing special about them. I think it was about 2 years. I get a lot of songs sent to me every year. And about 2 years ago, I had a Christmas song, a cover song of Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree sent to me by, I won't say who it is because I don't want to.
Sure.
I don't want to do that. But it was a female artist who has not had a hit in a long time, but she had some big hits.
Yeah.
And I saw her name attached to it, and I thought, this is going to be cool. And I listened to it, and it could have been anybody.
Yeah.
Didn't sound like her. It was paint by numbers. Brenda Lee almost timed out perfectly to her. Could
right.
have been anybody. There was nothing special about it. It sounded to me like one of those songs where they have just a little bit of time left in the studio. Let's do this.
Yeah.
And okay, we'll knock out a Christmas song.
Yeah.
And it's sad because I thought this was going to be something special, but it just wasn't. And there are so many that come out. But you know, I hear your version of Old Toy Trains, and that has that little touch of Christmas magic in it.
Well, thank you. Well, I mean, I think of that just, you know, it's a well-written song, you know, and it's hard to write a great song, you know, and you even great songwriters don't get that many of them, you know. But I think it's just one of those great songs. And then if you can just put yourself when you're covering it in that human experience that the song is delivering, you know, like, you know, tired, you know, like for me, I'm thinking about my kids. I'm thinking about my son, you know, and, you know, the love you feel for them when you're singing. And then that, you know, a great song and getting that emotional connection to it is you know, I'm not going to say that you can, that's the formula for success. I'm just saying that's, I know that if I didn't have that human connection there for that, it probably wouldn't be as good as it turned out. So,
and you probably wouldn't be happy with it.
I'm really happy with it. I love singing it. It's fun. Every time I love singing it, you know, I genuinely love it, you know, unironically.
You know? Well, and I think that comes through on when you hear your Christmas songs, even, you know, even a song like Holly Jolly Christmas, which is just a fun little romp.
Yeah.
But it sounds like this is somebody singing who is enjoying what they're singing and they, you know, they believe it.
I think that's because that's the kind of song I love because it's very, you know, it's freaking jolly, man. You know, you can't say anything else about Holly Jolly Christmas, right?
Yeah.
Is a, you know, it's true to its name, you know, and Burl Ives' version of that is one of the, you know, the touchstones for me of my Christmas experience as a kid. And then for whatever reason, I don't know why I identified with him. Maybe it's because he kind of looked like Santa Claus, I guess, you know, but, and then it's also kind of, it's got this underlying flair of like Western swing. And I love Western swing. And that's probably one of the reasons I love that song so much. You know, I think Alan Jackson's version of that's a great version too. And I probably had, you know, subconsciously had a lot of Alan Jackson's version on there too. But yeah, I mean, that's a perennial hit to me. And people are probably sick of it, like Rocking Around the Christmas Tree or whatever. But Holly Jolly Christmas, man. I love that song. I love Burl. Burl Ives is such an interesting cat, man.
Oh, yeah. He did so many children's songs. Then he was doing 60s folk songs.
Well, tell you what, you think of that, and then if you think of that, tell me. And then the other thing is you talked a couple of times about Old Toy Trains being the song that's almost kind of forgotten. So, like, I'm always looking for songs like that, especially, like, because the next project I'm going to do with Buddy is like a Western swing project, you know. And so I've been combing through old Western swing songs and stuff that would fit as a Western swing cover and things like that. And I love rediscovering stuff and bringing it, you know, back around, because it's always cool to come up with something somebody hasn't covered in a while, but it's also just, you know, songs are like people, or their songs themselves are entities. You know, they're like, you know, it's like they have a spirit. It's just to hear, you know, it's like some other gift from the universe. Like when you have this perfectly crafted song, especially ones that have kind of been forgotten or whatever, I think it's really wonderful to kind of unearth them and kind of bring them back into the light and dust them off and bring them to a new, you know, new generation of people. Of course, the new generation right now that's one of the things I love about the youth right now is, like, they're, like you said, they're discovering old stuff like Sinatra and listening to old stuff from that a lot of people have forgotten about, which, you know, I think that gives me hope for the world, you know, that the goodness is going to win out, you know, that the great things are going to last and be rediscovered and cherished.
I can't think of the specific song, but Burl went through a stage probably in the late 60s. And I know one of the songs he covered was By the Time I Get to Phoenix, which you wouldn't think of as a Burl Ives song, but he did it. And he did a lot of songs. I don't say like that because I don't know if there are others that are really like that. But
written by Jimmy Webb, no relation that I know of. So. But also an Oklahoman, you know, incredible songwriter. I think my favorite Jimmy Webb song is probably If These Walls Could Speak. Just because it's such an interesting... I mean, that's just another masterclass in songwriting, because there's this... If you go and listen to that song, there's one line that doesn't match any of the other lines in the rhyme scheme, but it rhymes across verses, like laughter and after and rafter, like across verses. It's just such a brainiac, genius level songwriting thing.
I think my favorite of his is Wichita Lineman.
Yeah. I am a lineman for the county. Yeah. Such a great melody.
Yeah. That's another one you should add to your list.
Yeah, I should. I need to do James Robert Webb covers Jimmy Webb. Just a little piano.
Webb by Webb.
Yeah, Webb covers Webb. That's right. I love those things. Like, that was huge in the 60s of, like, a lot of the jazz people that I love, like Basie Encounters Peterson and Ella sings the Cole Porter songbook and stuff like that. You don't hear that tradition anymore recently.
No, not a lot.
I can't even think
of the last time I heard somebody do that.
Adele sings the Jerome Kern songbook or something, you know? I mean, that would be a great project.
Yeah.
If you're listening out there, Adele's people go, idea, right?
Before we wrap things up, is there anything about, I don't want to say everything we talked about because we covered a lot of ground, but anything specifically about your music that we didn't hit that you would want to mention?
Oh, man. No, man, we covered it all, I think, you know. I just feel lucky to be able to do that. You know, first off, like we said, I have a great day job. I actually get to help people. Like, you know, there's about once a month I get somebody that comes into my office in a wheelchair and they're able, And by the time we're done with them, they're able to walk out. You know, it's just an incredible blessing. And so to be able to, you know, to think that I can make music too, that, you know, people enjoy, that's just gravy. I mean, that's a lot more attractive to me than having a great handicap in golf.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of worthwhile. So I love music. And if you, you know, like my music, let me know, you know, reach out. Like I said, I answer my socials and everything. So let's start a conversation on whatever your preferred social media platform is.
All right. I'll put a link down in the show notes to your website and people can click over there and then they'll see, I think it's up in the right corner, all the socials, so they can pick out their favorite and track you down.
Yeah. Online.
Yeah. Well, that's, yes. Yes. Track you down online. I'm not trying to send anybody to your house.
They might not want to track me down at my house.
Yeah.
I won't say I'm a gun nut, but
yeah, don't do that. Thank you so much for spending so long with me talking about tons of music and
my pleasure.
And everything. This was great, and I hope you and yours have a great holiday. And again, I'm grateful. Thank you.
You as well, Ken, and to all the people out there listening. Thanks for hanging out with us.
And thank you so much for listening, helping us share some Christmas spirit, and for continuing to support the Sounds of Christmas station and podcast. I already told you how to listen to the station, and you're listening to the podcast now, so my work here is just about done. All of our episodes are available on the Sounds of Christmas website. Just click the podcast tab. And we also have a Linktree page that lists most, if not all, of the sites that stream the Sounds of Christmas podcast, so you can scroll down, find your favorite, click on over, and then subscribe, and you'll never miss another episode. If you have comments or suggestions on this episode, previous episodes, or the Sounds of Christmas station, feel free to reach out to me on social media or through the website. And if you're listening to this episode on your phone, you can also click the Send Us a Text Message link and connect that way. Thanks again, and may you always believe in Santa Claus.